Dopodiché c'è l'ultima questione, man's glory is always in himself. You have man in his own wisdom, and in man's wisdom, what does he get? What does he make of? He changes religion to go the way he wants it to go. He always puts himself first. In 1 Corinthians 2:5, it says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And also in the doctrines of men, the man's wisdom changes the scripture. But God's answer to that, to the body members, is in Ephesians 3:10. The manifold wisdom of God. And how do you get the manifold wisdom of God? You go to 2 Timothy 2:15 to study the word rightly divided, proving truth in Scripture. With man's wisdom comes might, man's strength. What does man do with his strength? He makes machines. One machine in particular that he made that said no, even God can't sink it. You know what that is? That's the Titanic. And man's strength, they produced Goliath against a youth named David. That's man's strength against God's almighty power in a young lad. When we get to the glory of man, Adam Clark's commentary writes, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, because God is the foundation of all good. Neither wisdom nor might nor riches nor posterity can come but from or through him. Nothing can be more rational than that source of all our blessings should be acknowledged. Riches cannot deliver in the day of death. Strength cannot avail against him. And as a shield against him, our wisdom is foolish. Unless wisdom has for its object God himself, and teaches us to despise ourselves, to be humble beneath the mighty hand of God, and to glory in Him, God alone, all other wisdom is vain and dangerous." Sophocles, as a poet, wrote this poem. If wisdom, strength, or riches by the lot, boast not, but rather think thou hast them not. One God alone, from whom these gifts proceed, is wise, is mighty, and is rich indeed. Amen. God's strength is unmeasurable. But concerning man, God's strength is resurrection from the dead. In 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. You can't rely on the wisdom of man. I don't care even if they're a family member. If they're not walking in God, you're wasting your time. If they're not led by God, it's all vain. No matter how wise they are. Faith in the power of God given to the body of Christ. The dynamis power. In Ephesians 3:14 through Ephesians 3:21. This is the power that God gives the body member. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. This love is the commandment that God, that Christ, pushed, preached. This is the greatest commandment, is love. 3:18. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. The Word of God is so vast that we can't even measure it. 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, unto him be glory in the church. By Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That's God, a man's strength and the body member's strength. That's the second part. We have wisdom, we have strength. Let's move on to the riches that man has. In 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10. This is concerning men and the glory of men. But they will be rich, they that will be rich, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. We've heard that over and over and over, and it is proven true over and over and over. Which, while some coveted that, in the process of coveting that money, you're either going to lie to somebody, you're going to steal from somebody, or you're going to hurt somebody. In doing this, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through many sorrows. This is the glory of man. But to the glory of God, the very next one. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. Righteousness is understanding God's word and putting it into practice. Believing God. Through Abraham's belief, he was accounted for righteousness. And through our belief, we will be accounted for righteousness. Godliness, faith, and love, patience, and meekness. And 12. Fight the good fight of faith. It's not easy. You have to put up with people. You have to endure these afflictions of these men that glory within themselves. Lay hold on eternal life. hereafter, the life that a lot of people are not going to see, because they know not God, they know not Christ, they know not the salvation, saving grace that He is. Whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. In James 1:10 it speaks of man's glory. But the rich, in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. This statement basically says that man's glory will pass away. We're only here for a short time. What you do with that time depends on what you're going to get as a reward. If you spend that time searching and knowing Christ and knowing His saving grace, then you can achieve resurrection. You can achieve life again. That's the goal that everybody wants today, is to have life again. But when you go under man's wisdom, you can want all you want, but there is no respecter of persons with God. With God's glory, in 24, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Loving kindness, His grace. And what God done by giving His Son. A good example of grace is in the book For the Journey, which we do have. And when I read it, it touched me, because it exemplifies grace. For those of you that haven't read the book yet, this teacher gives candy to her students on a daily basis if they're good. One day, the students are unruly, misbehaving, uncontrollable. This teacher goes around. She goes back toward the back where she keeps her candy, and the students look. She grabs the bag of candy and walks around, placing the piece on each one of the students' desk. At this time, the students are silent. The teacher says, "You didn't deserve this candy. It's given to you by grace. It's undeserved favor." I've been wanting to tell Kevin, Kathleen, and them, but I really love the book. And Miss Jean, I'm sorry, her name should have been first. The judgments. The Old Testament was judged by the law. But in John 5:17, our Heavenly Father passed judgment on to His Son, Jesus Christ, who is now the judge. Jesus Christ is the one that's judging us and will judge those at His days. Not one, but several. Okay. No, in the Lord, and it was counted for him for righteousness. It was justification by faith, Romans 4:22. I got to catch up with myself over here on my mother. I don't have it. Ephesians 6:14. Ephesians 6:14 speaks of the breastplate of righteousness, which is faith. What does the breastplate protect? It protects our vital organs. It protects our heart. And in our heart we have love again. And the breastplate of righteousness is that will protect. Be thou, O man of God. Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. And 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and professed a good profession before the many witnesses. I don't already read that. Okay, Tom. Going into the glory of God. That I got. This is a study that I picked up off the, I believe it's our Truth for Today website. It's been a while, it's been sitting on my desk, and I wanted to go through it. We are very conscious that the glory of God is vast. All too vast for our complete understanding, or for the small limits of these little passages. But as it is so bound up with our hope, so interwoven in the prison epistles, we are encouraged to sit down with the Scriptures. Record concerning it. Praying always the Holy Spirit may give open eyes and understanding. What is glory? In the Greek word, your Greek root, meaning doxa, and its derivatives is testing. This can be seen in 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and appearing of Jesus Christ. Also in the testing aspect of it, as far as glory, if you want to achieve it, glory is not easy to achieve. Example, Scripture. When we study Scripture, if we don't study, we just glean over it and read it, we're not going to get the message that God wants us to have out of it. And if you're not getting God's message, you're not getting His glory. And what is another test that we're in constantly? Everybody's in. I don't care who you are. It's a test of life. And to receive glory at the end of that life, you better know who the Maker is. You better know who has the power to raise that body out of the ground. Because those of us that understand Scripture and understand and love our Lord and Savior, we don't die, we sleep. There's a difference. If God says that you're dead, believe it. But if Scripture says you sleep, that means you're going to be awakened again at His appointed time for you. The glory of God is linked with righteousness. For absolute rightness and perfection. It is that test when applied to man which shows him to be the frail creature that he is, coming utterly short of it in Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's the great standard of God Himself. All His ways and all His purposes can be measured by it and will never and never will they be found to deviate a fraction. Therefore, it is fitting that the symbol of glory should be light. Just as the symbol of what falls short of its standard is sin and darkness. God is absolutely right. He is the God of glory. And so we read, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Looking at glory used as light, the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus was struck down with light. It blinded him. The light that we see on a daily basis is the sun. The sun gives light. When you get close enough to that sun, there's nothing on earth that can withstand the power of it. That sun was made by God. It's part of His glory. There's glory in the moon that God created. If you say God created it, it is glorious. But if you worship that moon and put that moon in a perspective that you worship it instead of God, then there's no glory in it. That's man's glory again. There's a difference. Man's glory concerned except for God's glory. Now, just as the Lord Jesus Christ sums up all that God is in John 14:9, Jesus said unto him, I have been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me. This is when Philip asked Jesus to show him God. And Jesus said, He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? So in Him we find the glory of the Godhead concentrated. He is the King of glory. Psalms 24:8-10. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. 9. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. And 10. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The brightness of glory. Hebrews 1:3. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power. When He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians 2:8. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For if they had known it, they would have crucified the Lord of glory. The last reference seems to be an allusion to the holiest of all in the earthly tabernacle. There, the blazing Shekinah light covered the cherubim and mercy seat. the symbol of Jehovah's presence with his people. And all the Lord, Jesus, is this glory vessel. We find him linking glory with the completion of the divine will concerning righteousness. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. John 17:4. The completion of God's will is connected with and manifest his glory. We note next that the glory of God is connected with dwelling with his people. This would only be upon the basis of redemption. Let them make me a sanctuary and I may dwell among them. Exodus 25:8. And he made them a sanctuary and they dwelt among them. And when completed the tabernacle or tent was filled with Jehovah's glory. Exodus 40:34, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Likewise, the temple when Israel were coming to the land, 2 Chronicles 5:14, so that the priest would not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. This is a picture and miniature of the purpose of the agent brought into its conclusion as far as the earth is concerned. When sin, the barrier to glory, is finally removed completely and God's original purpose in connection with glory can proceed unhindered. Previously, God had linked the heavens to a tent, the tabernacle, for his dwelling. And this too shows forth his glory. Psalm 19:1. Coming to the Lord's earthly life, we have one glimpse given us of the glory of God, shining through the human body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that it is at the transfiguration. His raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow. It's back to light again. So as no fuller on earth can white them. Mark 9:3. Basically what it said is raiment became exceeding white as snow and no fuller could white them. Peter refers to this in his second epistle when he says, the Lord here received honor and glory from God the Father, just as the robes of Aaron the high priest were for the glory and honor. So at the transfiguration, we have the consecration of the great high priest. And glory is definitely associated with his priestly work. He shall bear the glory and shall be a priest among his throne. If the glory of God is linked with righteousness, then sin is definitely an attack on his glory, and we can understand it being associated with his work as high priest in putting away sin by the sacrifice of himself. We now come to the second advent when Matthew 16:27 tells us the Lord is coming in his Father's glory. And Luke 9:26 couples with his own glory and that of the angels. What majesty is here? Revelation 9:11-16. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as flaming fire, and his head were many crowns. And he had a name written on that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon the white horse, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth sharp to a sharp sword, and with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he shall tread the winepress of fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the judge. He is the righteous judge. He is the one that's going to finish the work. No wonder the man of sin is consumed with the brightness of his coming. In 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And then shall the wicked be removed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. When the Lord just appears as he's coming, the brightness of his glory is just going to consume all those that oppose him. And if this is the effect on a supernatural being, what about our puny mortal man? Since God is the one from whom glory comes, he will not let stand the assertion that glory comes from man, or from the idols of man, or from nature. We see an example of God's jealousy over his glory. This jealousy is for his own glory, and what Paul is talking about in Romans 1, 21. We're going to have to turn there. Romans 1, 21 to 25. I'm used to flipping it on the computer, and I'm not used to flipping pages. I've got out of a habit of it. 21 to 25. Because of that, when they knew God, they glorified him. Not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts, and all creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. How often do we hear that? I'm sorry, I work in a barber shop and I hear it every day. You don't know how I want to say something, but I would go hungry if I did. They serve the creature more than the Creator. Idol worship. Who is blessed forever and ever, our Lord and Savior? When he speaks of the ways people worship the creature rather than the Creator, in other words, they look at the object through which God's glory was coming. And instead of giving God the credit for it, they worship that animal or tree or man as if the beauty it possessed originated from within itself. This is the very heart of idolatry and is a very common occurrence. Everyone who has ever lived has committed this error at one time or another. We have all exchanged the glory of God in favor of the glory of man. This is the mistake many people continue to make, trusting in earthly things, earthly relationships. We trust too many people that don't know God. Their own powers or their other talent or talents or beauty or goodness they see in others. But when these things fade and fail, they will inevitably do, being only temporary carriers of the greater glory. These people despair. What we all need to realize is that God's glory is constant. And as we journey through life, we will see it manifested here and there in this person or that forest or in a story of love or heroism, fiction or nonfiction, or our own personal lives. But it all goes back to God in the end, and the only way to God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. We will find that the very source of all beauty in Him, Christ, in heaven, if we are in Christ, nothing will be lost. All those things that faded in life, we will find again in Him. Get up and you get this thing off.